welcome to the bi-weekly meeting podcast for the OWASP Top 10 for Large Language Model Applications. If you'd like to stay up to date with our project, please click subscribe. And if you enjoy the content or have any questions, please feel free to comment and share. Now, on to our meeting.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the February 15th meeting of the OWASP Top 10 for LLM Apps group. We're just a couple of weeks out from kicking off the 2.0 project. I think this is the first meeting we've had since our kickoff meeting. So it's a good time to sync up, see what's going on. I see a few new faces on the Zoom here today. So if this is your first meeting, welcome. Glad to have you. So let's go ahead and dive in. Okay, the chat messages from the AI assistant. All right, here we go. All right, so just wrapping up on the 2.0 announcement. At this point, I think sort of the stats on that are final, but you can see almost 40,000 views on the announcement, which is great. You see these numbers, 80 reposts, and that doesn't include anything that somebody posted that didn't directly link to my posting. So I think lots of good interest out there in the next rev of the project. So if you rewind back to last time's meeting, we talked about the first phase of the 2.0 project was going to be a set of brainstorming. This was very similar to where we started the 1.0 project, which was about a month's worth of different brainstorming sprints. So the first thing that we did actually when we kicked it off before the brainstorming to seed it was the survey. And as you'll see here, lots and lots of good responses from that. We had over 100 responses. In the last meeting, I showed some preliminary results from that. The results didn't change dramatically as we got more responses, so I won't go through them in detail. But if you haven't seen them yet, you can go ahead and check out the blog. It is linked at the top of the new brainstorming channel in the Slack instance over on the OWASP Slack. I think it's worth reviewing that and seeing some of the kinds of things that came out of it. But a lot of really good questions that have started to become discussions in the brainstorming. And, if you see this here, I just took a quick snapshot out of the Slack statistics page. And actually, I should have put the header on this, but there are 84 people who've joined that channel, 115 messages that have been posted so far. So a lot of good activity, a lot of threads there. Not ready to summarize that yet. And in fact, there's been enough activity and it hasn't slowed down to the degree I thought it might have. So I'm going to let the phase one brainstorming go on for another week and continue to people to go over there and put down ideas, comment on other ideas. There's a lot of really good threads on some rich topics, everything from, do we really need to build a top 10 last time, or should we be building something different, all the way at that level to debating the nuances of some of the ever debated entries from the 1.0 list, things like over-reliance. That's probably the longest thread there. So I would encourage everybody to go over, check out that brainstorming channel. It's on the OWASP Slack. I will repost a link to the brainstorming channel on the main OWASP channel in case you haven't gone over and joined yet. But I think we have a critical mass over there that's really starting to get some good commentary going and get us thinking about where we might want to go next. And so, let's see. Sorry, I was just checking out the chat messages there. I'll just pause here for anybody who has been involved in the brainstorming. Anybody got any comments on how that's going so far or suggestions for how we make that better? We're going to stretch it out a bit.
quite liked the discussion that's happening, and I actually caught up this morning, so I kind of frantically started typing there, and some of that came actually the wrong way out. But I think I think if you could help us, because misthreads and everything, if you could next week say these are the key topics that emerge for people to give their kind of final. Otherwise, they'll have to scroll down, and it's quite challenging to catch up with everything. So help whoever is about to give feedback, I guess.
Okay, maybe I'll try to post some interim commentary over the weekend. But I think my intent is we'll let this go another week, and then I'll post more formal summary. I've been trying to figure
Yeah.
out some way to extract the full contents without copy and pasting it, but I suspect I'll just have to copy and paste and swizzle a bit. But
I think that's the right thing to do, and I'm not asking for I guess a little bit of signposting, Steve, kind
yeah.
of that would help. That's how I felt this morning, that's all.
Okay.
So
And everybody here, feel free to do that yourself. If you think there's one of these topics that's kind of scrolled up that is still worth discussion, post a message in there and click the post a main thread. That'll bring it back down to the bottom where people are likely to see it. But I'll take a look at that as well. But everybody here, don't be shy about that. Let's see. Ad, do you want to make your comment for everybody here?
hey Steve, yeah, sorry, I'm currently multitasking very
Okay.
poorly. So I published the say hello. I published the V2 directory in our GitHub repo, and I've actually started working on the backhaul of GitHub issues, which I'd also like the core team to do. Part of One of those is that I have an initiative that I want to rename training data poisoning. I can't remember the number it is. I think it's three. Anyway, I just put an open poll to the community. So anyone who's looking to get involved on any specific vulnerabilities, then please join us and give your comments and votes. And everyone who has already, thank you very much. I'm going to close it tomorrow, I think I said. So yeah.
William or Chase, I see you posted comments in the chat. Anything you want to just say to the group?
Sure. So, the biggest feedback I have so far is having 10 distinct top 10 things is important. But I think as an addendum, there are lots of areas that we can help support the top 10 standard, especially around chained risks. To just quickly summarize that.
Cool. I think this is one of the things that we've seen kind of all the way along is that putting out the original top 10 list was great. The more interesting activities have been since we put it out, and getting involved in various other groups, getting it adopted, starting to put out some additional assets. I think Sandy's on today, and we'll get an update from her later on how the CISO checklist guide is going. But I think those are some of the things looking at what are derivative works or related works that we want to publish. And I think that's definitely been a theme that's popped up in a couple places, both I think in the brainstorming as well as a smaller chat within the core team. So I think that'll be a good thing to surface next meeting and talk about what maybe some of those sub projects are. There are ones that we've long talked about. When you look at the sort of base top tens, they obviously have a lot of derivative projects that have come out of them. Everything from, Web Goat and things like that, where there are vulnerable applications, there are samples. We haven't done much in the way of actually generating code yet, but certainly something that is on the table. And so I think that'll be a really good thing for the group to discuss. There also is a smaller discussion going on that I will just raise for the visibility of the team here. I don't see Scott on today, but Scott Clinton, who was on last week recently joined the team and volunteered to lead some of the discussions with companies that want to have commercial relationships with the group. And this has been happening as long as we've had the group, almost in the first few weeks, especially when we were working on the initial version of the list. I really pushed all of those off and I said, hey, you know, there's a way for you to write down that your company kind of supports the project, and there was a place to do that. And other than that, you know, have people who want to contribute in terms of work. But I think there is an opportunity with the amount of attention that we've gotten and the amount of just inward bound interest that I think we should be exploring some of the commercial opportunities. I've raised this discussion, you know, kind of on the leader's alias at OWASP. There are a lot of the other larger, more mature products that do have commercial relationships, and they get various things, you know, in kind or even donations related to that. If we wanted to spin up more projects, that might be one way to enable us to do more. So I think that'll be a good discussion for the group over the next few weeks. What kinds of relationships are we open to? I think we very much want to keep this an independent, open project. But if in the right spirit and under the right conditions, it could enable us to do more, I think we should consider that. And so Scott's off having some really good first round discussions, both with some of the commercial entities who are interested, as well as with some of the internal OWASP people, kind of figuring out what tools are available to us to do that and what some of the best practices from some of the older projects are. So I think try to have Scott come out and report out on that activity in the next meeting or two. So anyway, my plan as of this point is we'll kick off phase two of the brainstorming, which will be much more structured. I think what I'm hoping is that we'll take some key themes and discussions out of the broader brainstorming. We'll pair those off. We'll find people who are going to help lead those discussions and fashion some opinions for the team around those. And that'll be another 1-2 sprint activity that should help lead us into really kicking off phase two of the project. I know in parallel last time on the meeting, Emmanuel gave us an update on the data gathering project. And I know there's been a lot of side discussion around that in terms of other resources and things that we might be able to leverage that have already started gathering some data. I think Emmanuel's on. Anything you want to add on from the discussions that have happened since last meeting, Emmanuel?
Yeah, yes, please. So I just got a little update. I managed to add to the mappings. I met our top 10 to Cyclone DX software bill of materials as well. I'm catching up with Ken and also with John just to align what we're doing at data gathering and see the convergence of what we're going to do with what the other initiatives that we have, and then just try to close the gap and produce data that's going to be useful and more practical in a sense. So, and we also expecting some comments and suggestions on our channel as well. So anyone who have ideas, please join us and help us out.
Great. And
yeah, that those are the updates from us.
Okay. So let's see, functional lead reports. I got out my slides to the leads super late this week, so I don't think I got additional slides, but I will just open it up to the floor from any of the project leads who want to add updates. Maybe in particular, I'll start with Sandy, because I know you're really close to a milestone on the checklist.
Yes. I submitted everything to Jason, and he got caught up in a job change. He was hoping to have it done today. I looked for him in this meeting. He's not here today, but hopefully have the 1.0 version ready to publish and point everyone to either today or tomorrow. So huge milestone.
That's awesome. I would say, just from a best practice perspective, what I've seen with the main list is feel free to get that thing staged up on a Friday and things if you want. But I tend to avoid posting things on Friday, because Friday day in the US, you basically have sent most of the rest of the world off to their weekend. You can get it all staged, nobody notices. And then a post at, 6 a.m. Pacific tends to get the most traction as the world wakes up. So if you do get staged, today, tomorrow, I'd suggest putting out your announcement on Monday, and then, we'll all pile on that and help amplify it.
Okay, perfect. Yep, we'll call that the plan. Hopefully, I'll ping Jason and see where he's at today.
Awesome. All right. I see Andy posting a note that says his mic doesn't work, but he's looking forward to working on V2. So any of the other functional leads want to give any updates on their parts of the project?
I can do one. First of all, well done, Sandy. Congratulations. That's exciting and awesome. So as you all know, last week we got the week before, I can't remember now, the ASIC membership. So this week we got the link to start people getting access to the Slack channels that will start next week. Just to step back for those who haven't been in previous calls, so we have applied, we're part of the US AI Safety Institute Consortium, and that has a few work groups that I'd like us to participate. And those working groups are about safety and security, red teaming, risk management. There is a channel on Slack that OWASP ASICS collaboration. If you're interested in participating, join that channel and fill in the form, where that will give you then, what will happen is you will receive an invitation to the Slack channels from NIST. I think it's exciting. We'll start contributing there. At the moment, unfortunately, it's only me listed there with the right to vote, but I will expand as soon as we settle there. And then the other thing we need to do is, this is such a high kind of visibility of participation. It would be good to have a monthly get together and read out by those who participate in the work group. So maybe, we can hijack 10 minutes at the end of this meeting. Steve, but it is also joined with AI Exchange, so I might set up something like that. Let's see who participates. Let's see who takes part in that. And then let's have that call and decide how we're going to collaborate and work so that we all have autonomy, but, we're coordinated a little bit. And that's my update.
No, great work on that, John. You've really have done a fabulous job. And I'll call out Vincent, who's on the phone. He pinged me just via email, and he's got some great things that they're working on at Control Plane that really complements a lot of the work that we're doing. So great to have you here, Vincent.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Hey, it looks like I think Azad's mentioned he's multitasking. So he did put a comment in here. I'll just read it out to get it on the record here. He does want to make sure that any of the entry leads are looking at the GitHub issues. If those are in your queue, please look at them and make sure that those are up to date. The other one is, I think ADS is looking for web development help for the LLM top 10 site. So if there's anybody on the phone or who's watching the replay later and you have some web development experience and you want to put in some volunteer hours, I think ADS could really use some help over there on that site. I think it's a great resource for us. I think it really differentiates the project, makes it easy to navigate. Ah, and Mike is here and can jump back in. So, Mike, that's awesome. Please touch base with ADS. But anybody else who wants to, I think there's kind of an infinite amount of work to be done there, depending on the amount of resource that we have to put into it. There are all sorts of great things that we could put up on that website. So I see Mateo is also volunteering to help with web development. So Mateo, please sync up with Mike and ADS. You can definitely find them both on the OWASP Slack. Maybe even I would suggest ADS and Mike, you guys might want to set up a Slack channel dedicated for folks who are interested in working on the website project and just collect some volunteers there. Happy to help advertise for that. All right. Any of the other leads? Anybody have an update?
Yeah, I do have some update.
Go ahead, Ken.
Hello, everyone. Yeah. So tonight, actually, Northern Virginia OWASP chapter has a meetup. So I will talk about the top 10 and also my recent book on generative AI. So it will be exciting. Yesterday met with Emmanuel on the data gathering methodology, really impressive. He single-handed did a lot of work there. So one thing is Emmanuel and myself, we had a discussion about the potential collaboration between OWASP and Cloud Security Alliance. Currently, I'm co-chair of the AI Control Working Group. We are trying to get all the threat, like data gathered, so we can apply the control on top of it. And whatever Emmanuel is doing is also gather the data, but it's focused on the academic research from Google Scholar, from XIV, and from IEEE. And if we can put this together with what Cloud Security Alliance has gathered, and also look at the lifecycle asset and the risk and the threat, that would be a very good combination. Can be a joint publisher, I would say. Yeah, so that could be potentially could be a 2.0 effort as well. So yeah, that's going to be very exciting.
I think that sounds awesome. And actually, first, I'll just say congrats on all the traction with the book.
Thank you.
I haven't read it yet, but Ken shared the table of contents with me this week, and it looks just amazing. So I'd encourage everybody to check it out. I do think that collaborating between the cloud security group that you're leading and our group, Anytime you get two groups that put their heads together and work on something like that and publish it, I think you might get 10 times the amount of interest and certainly actually just better results. So I'd really encourage us to think about leveraging both teams to do that. And, you know, I think that initiative of figuring out how do we really map out the risks, get them related to both academic research as well as real world instances of vulnerabilities. I think that relates to a lot of what people have been asking for from the list, is to take it out of the abstract and start to make it much more concrete. And I think that's a big opportunity for us. So thanks for helping push that, Ken.
Yeah, so one help maybe need from the group or maybe from people who watch the YouTube is given what email you have, maybe help Emmanuel in terms of once you get this vulnerabilities to actually there's a link, right? And have the LLM look at the actual article and trying to understand it using some capability of reasoning and trying to put it into different life cycle of machine learning, like the data gathering stage and maybe training or inference time, and also associated with different assets. It's data related or model related. This is actually the folks we have in the control framework, and then we can apply the control on top of it. So that's maybe, we had lots of discussion with Emmanuel. Emmanuel also raised his hand. Yeah, can chime in as well. But certainly it's, I see lots of effort from Emmanuel. It's certainly is very good direction he's heading to. So if we have the community support to move this to the next stage and have collaborative work. So I will also talk about this in our AI Control Working Group meetings. Actually, just as an FYI, NIST has published a AI or adversarial machine learning taxonomy white paper called NIST 100. And the author of this paper will be presenting for 30 minutes in our next working group meeting. So if you're interested, let me know. I send you the invite. That would be interesting.
Great.
And just add to that, actually, you mentioned that. I've forgotten in my update. So, you know, we provided feedback to that paper. We're actually organizing a follow-up work. There are two engagements we do with NIST. Sorry, Ken, I just jumped onto your update. One is the ASIC stuff that I talked, and the other is the authors of the AI adversarial taxonomy, the researchers. So we'll be organizing a workshop with them to go through some of the feedback that we gave them, and it didn't kind of make it. So we want to understand with the AI exchange group. So I'd be excited to come and join and listen to your kind of presentation. What do you think about that paper?
Great, great. Yeah. His name is Apostle. Yeah, Dr. Apostle will talk to us. So next Fantastic. Wednesday. Yeah.
Fantastic. That's great. Yeah. Thanks. And then we'll invite sure. everyone.
Sure.
Awesome. Thanks. All right. At this point, I'll open it up to the floor for anyone on the call. Anybody have an update or suggestion?
I see Emmanuel is raising the hand.
Oh, Emmanuel, go ahead.
I just want to add to what Ken was explaining. So we're trying to create a bit of a code in terms of Python to then map to academic research. But the idea within the data gathering group is also a community survey and then ask if you have heard from the companies that might be interested in sharing their data with us. So then we can truly map real world risks and vulnerabilities to our top 10. So that's the idea there.
Yes, some of also the effort from AI Exchange, like OWASP AI Exchange that Sandy Lob is doing, could also be together. Like there is some of synergy, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's all intertwined, and with what John is leading now, and I think everything's coming together.
All right, now I'll open it up to the group at large. Anybody with comments, suggestions?
I want just to say, you know, a little presentation, you know, after Sandy so kindly mentioned me. This is the first time I joined this call. I was looking forward to participate since many weeks ago, but was caught up in travel and other things that are going on. And just for you to know, I work for Control Plane, that is a company already specializing in Kubernetes cybersecurity, and we are researching a lot right now in AI security. So I'll be looking forward, you know, helping the way any way we can. I will be looking to the tickets for the issues in the GitHub, Slack messages. Anything you say, please, you know, ask for help, and I try to read things, and I'm also trying to more of my colleagues also to come to the calls and be able to help with the project. So, you know, just mention that I'm here trying to help, but right now a little overwhelmed for everything you have done. I think you have gone through a lot so fast that it's difficult to grasp everything that is going on at the moment. Just that, thank you.
Hey, Vincent, welcome. Glad to have you on board. Anybody else?
So I was going to post something in the Slack channel, but I'll maybe bring it up here just to see if there's any kind of maybe hopefully some quantitative data about as people are building apps using this stuff, what kind of if we have any ideas about how likely it is that people are going to be training their own models versus using off the shelf models and augmentation or something like that.
I personally can comment that in the space we move for the kind of customers we work with, they are most likely use foundational models that they fine-tune or even some models from scratch, because we work a lot with financial organizations, and for them it's very important to, you know, have a tight control of what's going on. But most are not at the stage right now to be able to completely train from scratch. I think what we are seeing is, you know, open source foundational model, but maybe in the future they will at some point be training with their own data from scratch.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't claim to have unique data on this, but just the trends I'm seeing, it felt like when we started, most of the projects out there were using base foundation models and prompt engineering as almost the whole application. Since then, it seems to me that the predominant mode right now is definitely retrieval augmented generation, and it's taking some set of data. And if you look at, I think the vast majority, just by bulk of the applications being built right now, they're being built as GPT, you know, custom GPTs in OpenAI, and that's basically a little bit of prompt engineering and a lot of RAG and getting something out of it that's hopefully useful. On the other hand, when I start to see the really, truly ambitious and useful projects, people are fine tuning. I see very few instances of people trying to build their or train their own foundation model. There are a lot of people starting from an open source model with open weights that is pre-trained. So it doesn't have to be OpenAI, but I think the amount of expense right now to train a large foundation model is completely limiting. So I think it's interesting to see a lot of people coming out and saying that you can do interesting work with smaller models and maybe it'll trend that way, but I think that's exceedingly rare right now.
I think, you know, if I may kind of add the experience that I'm finding both from customer work and the people that I talk to, I think, Steve, you're right, you know, when we started was OpenAI and no one else. I think we're seeing the proliferation of open source models, and I think what they bring in is that small size. So if you look at Mistral, for instance, if you have the right GPU, it can run on a 16 gigabyte of machine for certain things. So that commoditizes that, but I don't see any appetite for training your own foundational models, because it's such a kind of a foundational thing. You know, is why would you overinvest in that? Fine tuning would give you that domain expertise. So I don't expect actually people training, unless you focus on that market, I don't expect people to train their own foundational models. I think there will be vendors that will bring up, and people either will use RAG or fine tune. But you know, it's early days.
Yeah, one more comment to add. I was talking to somebody from AWS, and he concurred that like 60% of their customers, again, anecdotally, like is primarily using RAG, and 20% are probably trying to fine tuning. And I also heard the interesting tidbits was everybody who's experimenting it is always trying to use a third party model because of the ease of use and so on. But once they get past the experimentation stage, once they want to get production, that's when like the cost and the performance and all those things are becoming important. And that's when they are kind of looking to say, hey, if I can have a local model that is fine-tuned for my own business so that I can have a better cost and latency characteristics. And it's appearing of the fine-tuning and this local hosting as a means to get to production kind of thing.
Yeah, this is great. There is some discussion on related topics in the brainstorming channel. Maybe I'll start a thread just to kind of follow up from this there, because I think this is an important part for the group for 2.0 is let's more specifically understand whether the development models people are using. I think RAG really, I mean, I think it's existed for a long time, but I think it really started to rise to prominence later in the development our list. So it got brief mention. I think there's probably a lot more depth we can add. And I've seen various suggestions and comments about that on our main channels for the last couple of months. So probably a really good topic to dive into. All right, great comments. Anybody else want to add anything for today?
Hi, Steve. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Rumens.
Okay, yes. I sent a message yesterday to Emmanuel that I'm going to help with the transfer learning attack. In fact, is related to AI exchange, but I'm trying to copy the format of the top 10 for LLMs to use this in transfer learning attacks along with the risks along the pipeline. It was said, like data collection, the pipeline, the model, the weights, inference, and this. And so I selected some PDFs to start looking at it.
Great. Hey, Ken, you raising your hand?
Yeah, well, one thing I see the discussion, I think Steve, you raised about the community interested in the AI agent. That could potentially be a hot topic. Mm-hmm. Currently, OpenAI is actually building some of the agent behavior in its large language model. And there is a company such as Rabbit AI is actually promoting the idea of larger action model, right? It's more like agent. Agent, mm-hmm. meaning that it has the planning, reasoning, self-reflection. There is a startup called Imbue, I-M-B-U-E. They got, I think, 250 million, or I forgot how much, is building the agent. So there's lots of talk about the AI agent. Some thinking that you need to build it outside of the LLM, and some said maybe you can build it within the LLM. Eventually, it is both, but the security implication could be huge. It's not just a prompt engineering anymore, because agent has its own memory. It can do planning. It can do using the tool. It has its own action. So it could be very complicated. I do discuss this in the book, though, just a shameless plug about the large action model. So I would say this could be a potential further research area. I don't know if the timing is 100% right this time, but some of the front end research may be needed. Yeah, 200 million, yes.
Personally, I think we've got to start to embrace that topic. We'll have to go through the process and see where it lands in the top 10. But personally, I just see so much activity there. And when we think back to some of our most core things from 1.0, you know, excessive agency was in its first iteration almost like, hey, you gave the thing too many permissions. I think it's going to be a whole different ballgame when the thing actually has, by its intention, a lot of agency.
Very also, autonomy. So, agent also has autonomy. So,
exactly. So that's hard. Rubens?
Yes. No, because there is also an economic factor in this multi-agent cooperation, because I develop a notebook with LangChain using LangGraph that allows for agent cooperations. And when you have two or three agents and 150 iterations to solve a problem, you are going to spend like $1 each time you run the notebook. So it's much more expensive than an usual solution with LLMs.
Good point. Anybody else have anything they want to add for today?
So I had one sort of closing thought for V2. So we have all of these areas for improvement, but many of them fit into an existing bucket within the existing top 10. One thought might be to start to develop a subtaxonomy to sort of broaden subcategorization as a way to start to fit these things in.
Good suggestion. Feel free to add that in the brainstorming channel, see if you can get some traction around the discussion. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up for today. This was a great meeting. Lots of really good meaty discussion here. Really appreciate it. Sandy, congratulations on finishing up 1.0 of the checklist. I think you're going to see a ton of interest in that. So we'll look forward to getting that hopefully announced next week. And John, again, congratulations on the work getting us attached to the NIST group. I think that's a major piece of traction for us. So love to see all this good stuff coming out of the group here. Ken, your book, really, really great to see. And welcome to some of the new joiners this week. Great to have you. Loved all the engagement. So see y'all soon. Bye.
Thanks, bye. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out our bi-weekly meeting podcast. If you'd like to stay up to date on all of the latest news for the OWASP Top 10 for Large Language Model Applications, please click subscribe. And of course, we'd appreciate it if you'd share with a friend to grow our community. We'll see you in 2 weeks.